A couple of weeks back, the Lord just said to us, he encouraged us, have faith. We believe it's a time where promises will be fulfilled, but have faith. So you can stand in a Numbers 13 moment where you, are we going into the promised land or are we going to chill out? And there's a 10-2 split often. So the enemy doesn't hand your promises, he doesn't hand breakthrough on a platter. Okay? So the challenge is for us to walk in faith. And as I said many a times, I've run into my own sermons a week or two later, and so it's been. And then the other thing that Edna also just brought was don't resist him. Saw a big flow of the river, but some of the people, some of us are going against the flow of what the Spirit wants to do because you are holding on to something. And so the Lord is encouraging some of us, and I've seen it in my life, yield, let go, let me. Thank you for the brilliant set list this morning. So many of these things I believe has been confirmed, and we just sang that through Christ Cornerstone. Let the weak say, I'm strong. All of those things are just so echoing in the Spirit what the Lord is doing. And then 2 weeks ago, we just encouraged each other by saying that Jesus comes and he fights. But his weapon is one of love. He doesn't fight the way the world does. He comes and he always fights with a weapon of love. And we see that, you can go to the first two slides, first slide. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Who does not want to perish? Got good news. God loved the world so much that he sent his Son, that we do not have to perish. And so with an act of love, God started this whole thing. And then with an act of love, Christ came. And with acts of love, he's constantly doing what? 1 John 3:8. Boom. You can go to the next slide. No, you can just wait there. We'll get there just now. 1 John 3:8 says, the Son of God was manifested that he may destroy the works of the devil. Who would like to see that? Who's seen enough of that? Who's brave enough in their heart to say, Christ, come and destroy more of the works of the devil? Who believes that what the Son came for, the Spirit of God is still here for? Amen? Who sometimes forgets that in their own challenges? Yeah, we do. We in the fire, we sometimes forget that. And that's why we come to church. That's why the Lord speaks to us. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. And so we just are encouraged, Lord, we see so much brokenness. We see so much stuff going on in life. And then obviously in our own lives, Lord, not everything is perfect yet. So please come and fulfill that scripture through your Spirit and destroy the works of the enemy in my family, in our church community, and through us. And then, obviously, the portion that he had, the portion and the mandate that Christ had, who will have the same portion and mandate as well? Those that follow him. Will his disciples not have the same mandate if we have the same Spirit in doing and seeing these things fulfilled? Who of you in a season of your life have seen God through your life destroy the works of the enemy? Well, everybody should, yeah, obviously. Who's encouraged somebody? Who's prophesied to somebody? Who's led somebody to the Lord? Who's loved on somebody? Who's blessed somebody with dinner or lunch? Or we're just there when somebody's really alone? All of us. You have been a partaker of this beautiful inheritance of Christ first and now through his Spirit destroying the works of the enemy. Who would like to have more of that? Amen. Christ came and he imparted in 12. Now just quickly before we rush on, last week we had just an awesome moment where the Lord just came and he just flipped over our plans entirely. And so I don't want us to rush off because I can see how this puzzle actually fits and where what we're speaking about, what we're worshiping about at this stage. Just 1 Corinthians 14:26 says the following, and the reason I'm saying this is just to say, hey, what happened last week is so beautiful and so biblical and we want more. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Who was built up? Who of you guys were really built up last week? I'm sure all of us were. Now, what happened if you weren't here? We had an awesome worship set, and the Lord started to minister to us, and then Cecilia had a public tongue and she brought it in front, and it really, you knew it was a God moment. I was just, okay, Lord, something's up. And then there was a couple of interpretations, and the reason I'm revisiting it is because in charismatic circles, what can often happen is, man, the Lord's presence was amazing. You know, the Lord spoke to us. And then on Wednesday, I'm like, okay, cool, Petri, what did the Lord say? You know, like, oh, it was just so cool. Yet it's life-changing, and it's holy, and it is sacred. And so we need to heed when He speaks. Who of the dads amongst us would like your children to listen if you chat to them? Hallelujah. It will make a change. It will change the house. It will change the flow. It will change life. And so let's not come to church and say, oh, man, you're the Lord pitch. What a service. So amazing. And then just go on with life. Now let's just stop and let's just quickly say, Lord, am I heeding and am I listening and will we obey? Will we hear what the Lord is saying? And so what I'm just sharing is not perfect, but it's more or less, I asked everybody that brought an interpretation to WhatsApp me so that we can be good stewards of what the Lord has said. And also to test. Let every word be attested by 2 to 3 witnesses. So also to test. So the interpretation of the tongue was the following. Tia said, Father says, my child, come into my embrace and turn your eyes to me. Now immediately, there's something that I just sense in my, turn my eyes, as we saw this morning. Turn your eyes to me. She did a dance as well. Mike then came up, Mike Fabricius. He said, follow me with all your heart, my child. Follow, follow. And remember, especially he repeated that follow, and then he says, follow me always. And so the Lord is saying to us as a church, maybe to some individuals, maybe to the bigger body, I'm not sure. Come to my embrace and then follow. Wholeheartedly follow. Edna came, she said, I saw a big door opening up with this golden light streaming out of there. Inside were treasures, spiritual treasures. God saying, come in, there is more. And so you can see the golden thread in the words that came. There is much more. And she said later on to me, you know, just the spiritual gifts that the Lord wants to give us. So He's saying as a father, come into my embrace. Come, see what there is. There's so much more. More, for instance, than what this world can offer. Then Karen also said, God was coming not with a request, but a plea. And it's almost like it shifted a little bit. But God was not coming with just a mere request or a good idea or a nice idea. He was pleading. He was pleading with us as a bride. Surrender, not just to that which you see or can see, but also to that which you can't see. Again, just the call to surrender. Is there ears that are hearing what the Lord might be saying to us? Tanya Rihanna stood up and she started crying. Saw a vision of a woman kneeling and crying for the harvest. And that made so much sense about what Karen shared. And then lastly, because I got scripture and I thought, well, this does not go with what everybody is saying. But at the end, it made clear sense. I saw a field full of harvest and a mother like crying coming with the scripture, with the following scripture, Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And that's where I started crying, and we wasted a couple of minutes. But then, as we all came forward and said, yes, Lord, we are saying yes to your cry, to your plea. And the reason I'm revisiting it is not because it was a special moment and we want to just capture again. It's just to remind our minds, remind our spirits, remind our hearts of that. If you came forward and say, Lord, yes, I want to be a laborer, but I want to hear your heart's cry. I'm coming to you as a good father. I know there's so much more, but there's not only more for me, there's also a harvest. And I'm saying yes to your cry. I'm saying yes to your call. So I'm just going to leave that seed there again. And it's going to work out differently for the lot of us in different ways as we just say yes to His heart's cry. But I want us to just be good stewards of this. And please hold it up in prayer. Let's hold this up in prayer, not just as a nice moment in church, but let's hold it up in prayer with the eternal significance that it had. for us as a church, maybe for the bigger church. We're not sure. But let us follow him. So can we get an amen on that? Which sets the stage for a very quick message this morning. We're chatting about known for love. We've heard a lot about that in worship, and obviously the heart cry, the plea of the Lord, the cry of the Lord is, guys, there's a harvest. It's not just a cute idea for the evangelist, it's for all of us, it's for the bride. There is a harvest. And we need to be a people that's known for love. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So if you love, you know God, and you're born of him. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so he is just inviting us once again to say, hey, let's be conduits. Let's be weapons of love. Let's be a people of love. For that is the way the world will see him and get to know him. The first question today, or the first point today, is very simply this. Has the weapon of love done its job in you? Obviously, the answer will always be no. So let me put you to rest. I've just beautifully realized this last 3 weeks how the weapon of love does not, how Christ is not perfected. Things on my inside yet, but I am a work in progress. The reason why I do ask you this rhetorical question is that are we constantly holding up this truth to ourselves and say, Lord, please constantly sanctify, please constantly help me to work out my salvation, because it's not a once-off. Being born again is the first step of a process of salvation that is lifelong. And I just want to ask you in very simple terms this morning, let's not take our foot off the gas. Kom ons raak nie gemaklik in 'n sekere plek of posisie nie. Now, this demonic, thank you Jesus, this demonic influence, this little lab dog, is just, he's just going with me. Let's just not put him out, okay? It's just too much of a problem. And so we sometimes let stuff in our lives, sinfulness, maybe bad mindsets, unbiblical thinking, cultural stuff that is not the Lord's heart, we just let it into our life and it just cruises along. But then we get to this moment where we say, stop. Is he still busy perfecting his work in you? Are you still granting him the grace to take out these things out of your life that is not of him? 3 weeks back, we looked at Isaiah 61. And we're going to look at it today again. Thank you, Jesus.
Goed, Edna.
I call it the simple Isaiah 61 test. It is what Jesus came for. It was his mandate. It was the thing that he said that I'm going to do. And then Luke 10, it says, now the scripture is being completed. Now it comes to fulfillment because here I am. Let's read it, because this is what the Lord is doing in us. And when we hold up this question, has he perfected, has the weapon of love done his work in my life? This is a good reflection. This is a good thing to look at. Isaiah 61. I'm not competing with this morning. Let's just enjoy the moment. You all know the scripture, but let it just again speak to your heart. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So the beautiful thing is that Christ said, this is who I am, this is what I'm coming for, this is what I am going to do in this earth. We said to each other that what he came for, the Spirit is still here for. So that mandate is still applicable. Amen? Amen. Now we're just at a place where we're saying, I don't want to stop. I've been saved. I've done a couple of things. I've been with the Lord. I kind of know the Gospels. I know the Scripture, a bit of Old Testament. I know how to Christian. Who of you guys know how to Christian? But to know how to Christian and to be truly free and full of the Holy Spirit and full of Jesus Christ and walking in the fullness of God is two different things. So maybe the Lord is saying to me, hey Retief, are you just going to Christian? Or are you going to constantly trust me to fulfill this work in your life? What is the things that He promises us to do in our lives? What is the things, according to Isaiah 61, that He's going to eradicate, that He's going to break down, that He's going to destroy? He's going to destroy the following things, and you can think about it in your own life. Say, Holy Spirit. Say, please say with me, Holy Spirit. Through the Scripture and God's grace, show me these things in my life. And Christ, thank you. Thank you through your Spirit. You will destroy that. Cool. There's a couple of things I went through the Scripture. Just thought about what is the things that are mentioned. It's brokenness and healing. It's, let's call it the dark and then the light. And there's a couple of things that you can find in there. Firstly, there's poverty. Has the Lord dealt with poverty in your life? Has the Lord dealt with poverty in your life? Not in your wallet. That includes it. But I don't believe it's the root cause of it. It's physically, emotionally, spiritually. Is there still poverty? Wrong thinking. Feeling like an orphan, not as a child of the Lord. What is the other things that He's destroying? Brokenheartedness. Captivity. Who of you has been blessed by the Lord and restored out of a place of captivity? Come on, there must be more. Come on. The Lord saved me from a lot of captivity, from darkness, from imprisonment, from slavery. Who's been saved from slavery into sonship? All of us. We have faith in Christ. He will destroy and take us from defeat. He will take us from a place of mourning. He will take us from a place of grieving, from ashes of destruction, from despair and depression. And so when you find any of those things or something applicable, something in line with that in your life, what are we saying to each other today? Christ has not fulfilled the weapon of love, the work of the weapon of love fully in my life. Christ has not perfected yet the work of the Lord in my life. But here's the catch. I need to let Him do it. Who of you guys find it tough to let the Lord work deep in your life? Sometimes. Let's be honest. There's a couple of practicalities maybe. You can go to the next slide that I've just been working through. It's very simple. It's not rocket science. But maybe just good to sometimes chat about these things. Now, I've been going through a patch where you think you're sorted and then you get whacked with a curveball and you realize I'm not that sorted unless found in Christ, fully having your faith and trust in Him. Realizing, Lord, there might be mindsets, things in your heart that Christ needs to sort out. Who loves going for an operation? Albert. Die ewige freaking optimist. Praise God. He's perfected something of Isaiah 61 in you. Hallelujah. But most of us, back here on earth, don't like to go for an operation. It's really not that cool. Who finds it comforting? Yes, we all want the fruit of it. We all want what is at the end. We all want to be healed and restored. But it's not always that easy. And so, I'm speaking out of my own life. I don't know where you are. But if you go through one of these seasons, it's not comfortable. Who's been in a good season and 3 weeks later, you're like, what the heck has just happened? Any of you? Great, three of us. Hallelujah. God's doing something here. Firstly, I said, we need to let Him love. Who's ever been in a situation where it's tough to accept and receive love? Who's ever had a mount of brokenness inside of them, wrong thinking? I had a rejection issue. Had a rejection issue in Jesus' name because of stuff that happened in my life. And hence, I could not see or receive love in certain ways until the Lord had to come and restore my identity. And so, it's not always easy for people to get to feel loved. Heidi Baker tells of Mpemba how they would get into the orphans and for the first couple of weeks they will come in, be there, eat, steal the soap and run away. And then they will just go and get them from the dump again, bring them in, give them food, wash them, and then moments later they'll grab the soap and they'll just run away. Why? Brokenness. Wrong identity. Not knowing that there'll be more soap. There will be more food. This will not be taken away. You don't have to survive on your own. And so, often we get into the kingdom with that mindset. Like, well, this is quite cool. What can I get? What can I get from church? What can I get from the Lord? And you run home. You're like,
what was it?
Yeah, getting there. My wife's so excited. You go home and you eat this stuff, and often we come to the Father's house, we come into to the kingdom with that mindset. And then He needs to love that out of us. He needs to love slavery out of me. He needs to love that out of you. And so what happened with them is they will just keep on going back and bringing them in until one day they realize that, hey, there's going to be more soap. There's going to be more food. And then they start staying. And I believe it's a beautiful metaphor of kingdom living. We have to fight for yourself and fight for the things, but you don't realize that you're being loved and it's an unconditional one and there's going to be more. Then these seasons where the Lord is busy putting His finger on something like, ugh, like, lost that eight, asseblief. You need to let Him love the orphan spirit out of you. And I'm not speaking from high, lofty place. I'm really speaking from a low place. Because again, the Lord has just put His finger on something. That's an orphan line in my life. And with the truth of sonship, only based upon Christ, can just come and cut that out and restore the fullness of Isaiah 61 in my heart. So we need to let Him love word, spirit, time, connection. We need to trust Him wholeheartedly. Trust is not a once-off. And so I want to encourage you, when the Lord shows something in your life, when He's busy dealing with something, please give Him the time of day and give your wholehearted trust to Him. Third thing is, we need others. Who's here as a Christian today, sitting here in church? I don't know where you are. I don't know the season you're in. But who's here and it was not for any other people in your life? None of us. So Lord, the Lord God made it so sovereignly perfect. I want it so difficult. My wife said perfect. That we need other people. Please say after me, I need other people. Amen. There was a couple of elbow jabs there. Praise God. Because the fourth thing is, we need to be accountable and vulnerable. Who loves being vulnerable? Come on, John.
John. John.
Only at home. No. Sorry, John, but I'm like that also for beard. And I need to be vulnerable sometimes. But we need to be vulnerable and accountable. We need to be honest. That might be a very, very simple thing on a slide. But guys, honesty is crucial in Christianity. To be honest, of where's my inside? What's cooking in my mind? What's cooking in my heart? And be honest. I had lack of honest moments the last couple of weeks with myself, with my wife, with my accountability partners. Just saying, help me make sense of all of this. And usually they give brilliant counsel and it's amazing, and then you feel much better. But you need to get to that vulnerable place by saying, honestly, this is what's cooking. Who loves those spaces? Cool. Hallelujah. Let's whip. We need not settle for anything less than what He came for. Imagine what a waste of life. What a waste of life if Christ paid the most purest, perfect seed price for you to have the fullness of Him, the fullness of the fruit of Isaiah 61, for instance. And you miss out on that. What a wasted life. Imagine 80, 90 years. Now God can redeem in the last hour, hear my heart. But just think in all of those awesome times that you've missed. I had 21, 22 years of that I totally missed. But I'm thankful for the 14, 15 years that I've had. Still work in progress. And then the seventh thing maybe is that we need to see the redemption fruit. Now what is the redemption fruit? Isaiah 61, let's go back. We look at the flip side. What are the things that Christ came to do? We looked at the things are going to break down, the things of the enemy. But then he will restore and he'll give other things. Namely, firstly, good news. Who gets up on a Monday morning and thinks, praise God, I've got so much good news inside of me? Apparently not Gordon. Do you still have the good news inside of you? Is it still good? Or is it like, I've got news. I've got news for you. What do you have? Is it still, has it been in the fire? Have you been in the gospel? Is it still a hope? Do you still walk into the darkness of this world carrying the good news? If not, he needs to fulfill scripture in your life. So that's the thing that you'll get. You'll get a whole heart. A heel heart. Wie wil graag a heel heart hê? Heel hartiglik a heel heart. Ek ook, asseblief. Ah, I just love Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The brokenness in our hearts obscures our vision of the Lord, obscures our future and the road we travel on. The roads we travel on. And so when Christ comes and he does his work through his spirit, through his word, through his body, and he brings our heart into a place of wholeheartedness, it's so much better for seeing him and following him. Third thing is, we'll have light. From darkness, he'll bring us into light. I said that the fourth thing, sonship freedom. You know, in Isaiah 61, it speaks of the year of the Lord's favor. Now, what was the year of the Lord's favor? It was the year of Jubilee. What happened on the year of Jubilee? Debts were canceled, yes, and slaves were also set free. So what did Christ come and do? Yes. Slave identity killed at the cross. Sonship brought forth by the ministry of Christ. And so there's a freedom, a sonship freedom that is given all of us. You don't have to perform. You need to be. Yes, but tomorrow we're going to work X amount of hours for X amount of money to do X amount of things in our X amount of lives. And so this whole system is still based on slavery's system. So even though we, yes, ya amen, broer, for each other, it's something we need to work through with the Lord. Am I who I am in him? Or am I what I do and perform? Anyway, we can't stand still for too long. Let's move on. If it speaks to your heart, work it through with the Lord. He's brought forth for us redemption. What is redemption? It's also, who likes an old house? Edna likes an old house because she's got hope. Who likes an old house to renovate an old house? If you have got the money like Orphi. Yes, renovations and restorations is amazing if you've got the money. And so we rock up at Christ's door as a very old house. I don't even think I was resembling anything like a house. Miskien a karavaan. It's a dodgy karavaan. And then you rock up and now he starts to do renovations. And he's going to fulfill Isaiah 61 in your life. And that's what he's going to do. Renovate, restore, redeem. Now these things all sound very cool. But if I don't go tomorrow morning in my quiet time and say, Christ, fulfill this, it's not worth much. It still stays true. It still stays powerful. But I need to say, I yield. I want it. I need to stop and say, if there's any resemblance of a caravan in my life, of a caravan, Lord, come and build what you want into my life. Have those honest moments with him. Let's try to move on quickly. Another thing is to enjoy the spoils of revenge and retribution of God. Who's a bit of a warrior in the spirit? Great. Amen. So you would definitely like the spoils of war, the spoils of redemption, the spoils of revenge. Now that, again, is not arrogance. I believe it's inheritance. True sonship say, thank you, God. I want to constantly, daily see revenge. I'm obviously more excited than some of you. But I'm going to see revenge. I'm going to see revenge. Pray for me this afternoon, by the way, after this message. Edna thinks it's funny. It's not. He's going to bring forth comfort. He's going to bring forth comfort. Christ brings comfort. Who's the comforter? The Holy Spirit. So if you feel alone, if you feel isolated, uncomforted, unmothered, hey, guess what? The Lord's still doing His work in you. Provision, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. You'll have joy, and you'll be able to praise and worship. If you really get stuck and you can't praise and worship the Lord, say, Christ, please come and fulfill the mandate of Isaiah 61. Has the weapon fulfilled or finished His work in you? And as we said no to one another. Maybe one quick thing before I do the second leg. It will be a short leg, don't worry. Of the message is, I was just convicted that in those moments of standstill, in those moments of taking stock of where I'm at, in those moments of being honest of where my life is really at and my thought life, the only place where I get comforted, get revived, where the Lord changes me is in His presence. And so my heart is just this morning, yes, we had an awesome time in the presence of the Lord this morning, and we still are. But the thing is, we cannot only come into these moments now and again with the Lord, into His presence, and expect Him to do the fulfillment of that work. We are called to constantly walk with Him. Now, yes, I know theologically the Lord is with us the whole time. But we're not with the Lord the whole time. I'm going to say that again. The Lord is with us the whole time. We are not with the Lord the whole time. It's called the flesh. It's something else. And so we need to constantly praise God for a fire, praise God for a test, because then I'm just so much more inclined to go for His presence. Well, I'll just stop everything in my home and say, please excuse me. And Edna will open up the babakamer, the nieuwe babakamer deur, and I will be flat on my face, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, before the Lord, saying, Jesus, what is cooking? You need to fulfill Isaiah 61 in me. Now, Jesus. But in His presence, He comes and He works. He works through the things. In a moment of honesty, He comes and He's helping me. He's near to the humble, but He resists the proud. So I can say, no, nothing's cooking. No, I'm fine. I'll just go on. I'm in ministry by all stretches of the imagination. No. You get down. You say, Jesus, now. Now's the time. Now's the moment of honesty. Have your way. And so in His presence, I love Psalm, I'll get a t-shirt, Psalm 97 verse 5. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of all the earth. The mountains melt like wax. Who's ever had an emotional mountain? Who's ever a spiritual, demonic mountain? Come on, be honest. Who's ever had a relational mountain? Who's had a couple of mountains in church? Those are the biggies. You might look at this country, you might wander around in News 24 too much, and you might see a couple of mountains. Guess what? The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of all the earth. And so all those things I see in Isaiah 61, where the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, if I bring it in submission to the presence of the Lord, the truth of the Lord in His Word and through His Spirit, and in times of worship with Him, I see how the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. And so I want to encourage you with that. We're going to skip the Psalm 33 because we don't have time, but the bottom line is that the Spirit will do this work in you. I said there, you can maybe find it on one of the clips, we have to let Him, Jesus, the Lord, we have to let Him in to let Him out. Which leads me to my second point. You've got to let Him in to let Him out. What does that mean? He will constantly finish the work, the Isaiah 61 work in your life. He will constantly be at work to form Himself in you. But the beauty of this is it's not a selfish thing. He will not only stick with working on Pietri. The way in which the Lord works is always expanding. He sent His Son to do what? To love and to save us. But for it to multiply. And so whenever He's doing Isaiah 61 in Pietri's life, He will also do it through Pietri's life. That's the beauty of the gospel. Loving God, loving your neighbor. We're not called to be fish dumber. We're called to be rivers. And so the moment I lay down flat-faced on the on the ground saying, Lord, come, come, come. Father God, come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for fulfilling your work. Thank you for redeeming, for renovating. Thank you for changing this caravan into whatever else you want, Lord. Thank you, Father. The moment I get up and Christ has fulfilled that, he can do it now in Albert's life. Whatever Albert has attained from Christ in his life, he can extend the hand to me and say, hey, Retief, come. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I need to let him in to let him out. Christ has never made this, given us this lifestyle just to let him in, to let me be. We let him in to let him out. You look awfully excited. 1 John 4:12 says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us. This is the best part of ministry ever. I've had the grace and I've seen the grace of the Lord in and through our lives, many of yours, but in and through our lives, where he comes and he destroys the following in people's lives. He destroys poverty, often emotional, but often material as well. I've seen him mend the brokenhearted. Brokenheartedness get destroyed in the moment of prophecy, in the moment of teaching, in the moment of repentance and redemption. I've seen him set the captives free, break captivity. Who's ever had a moment with someone where you can speak Christ into their life and see how they come out of captivity? Don't you want to do that every single day of your life? Who's ever seen darkness, a lie of identity, a lie of darkness, of perversion or bondage being broken over an individual's life? Is that not beautiful? Darkness, imprisonment, slavery. Man, I love it when it just clicks. When somebody just click identity. Like, oh. I just love that moment where a son realizes he's a son. More, Lord. Where defeat gets trampled upon. Mourning is changed. Grievances or grieving is changed. Ashes of destruction is broken down and changed. Where despair and depression. Who's ever just had a coffee with somebody and you walk out there and you know Christ has now lifted a big yoke or bondage off that person's life? We've got to let him in to let him out. Now just quickly on that, I believe there's not a pressure for us to perform. You can't do this. I cannot do this. I can't do any of this. What does the word say? For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. So I want to declare, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us. To see darkness flee. To see the captive saved. To see the brokenhearted being healed. To see joy instead of mourning. To see beauty instead of ashes. I declare over you, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. Eleanor, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. To see Christ fulfill his mandate of destroying the works of the devil. And I speak it over your life. And as I speak it over hers, for those that want to receive it, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us. I was just reminded of the cornerstone verse that the Lord's given this church 8 years back, 9 years back, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's not become professionals. The moment I thought that I've got something nailed down, the Lord just clearly showed me I don't. But for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And what is the fruit that we will see? What is the fruit that we will see if we let him in to do his stuff in our lives and to let him out? Get to the fruit now. Just a quick ad break. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying God needs to completely do his work and finish his Christ-given Isaiah 61 work in my life, body, soul, and spirit, before I can. A river doesn't dam up all the water and then, well, some do, but not a normal river. So please just be with me in my illustration. Thank you, Dominique. So you don't dam up and go, dam up and go. It's a constant flow. So as he gives me revelation, as he graces me, as I humble myself before me, say, help. The moment he does, I can help somebody else. Now, there is some people that for some seasons need to sit out at this game. I'm going to say that in lots of love. But sometimes the hurt of the enemy has been so destructive in my life in a certain area that I may not be able to at this stage minister in purity. But then we've got the body saying, hey, let's just sit this one out, okay? There's somebody else that's got authority and Christ has done this work. Let them have it. But Christ is going to fulfill that in your life and we're going to see you run. And that's where we need a loving community as well. Because we've seen some weird stuff in the body before. But you hear my heart. Amen. So what is the fruit that we're going to see as we close? The fruit that, of the inheritance that we will see in the lives if we let him in to let him out, if we let him work, if we're honest, accountable before him, say, come on, do this thing in me so that you can do it through me, is we're going to see good news, gospel, hope in people's lives. There is no darkness that light cannot destroy. There is no darkness in Jesus' name that light cannot destroy. I might not have the answers, and I've not maybe seen it, might not have the authority in that moment, but Christ has. There is no darkness that any of you guys are facing or people that you come in contact with that you'll be facing that light cannot destroy. There is no, I just sense we need to take all of this by faith. There is no darkness that the light of Christ cannot destroy. I'll say it one more time. There's no light, there's no darkness, apologies, that the light of Christ cannot destroy. You'll see whole hearts, you'll see freedom, you'll see people that walk in the light of love, you'll see sonship freedom, you'll see redemption, you'll see people enjoying the spoils of revenge and retribution of God. How beautiful is that? In a relational context, just imagine that. Lots of destruction in family lines. And then all of a sudden Christ comes and he says, I'm drawing a line. This is done with it. We're done with this. And then by the grace of God, an individual, later on two individuals stands. Christ in them, the author and the finisher of their faith. And they change eternity and legacy for generations to come. Comfort, provision, a crown of beauty, joy, and the ability to praise and worship. We're going to end off with Matthew, because I believe this is what the Lord is saying to us as a church. I want to do these things in you. Let me. Or as I do it in you, I want to do it through you. You're not called to be fixed and sorted out, not for you to be multiplied in many, many other lives. And there's a harvest waiting. There's a world waiting. But we need to say yes to him, doing his full work in me, to do his full work through me. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Will you stand with me as we're going to pray? Father God, thank you that we pray for the harvesters, Lord. Lord, we love it to see our team win on the rugby field or sports field. It's such an exhilarating moment. And no, it's not a game, but there's a place where we can indulge and we can enjoy the revenge, the redemption, the salvation, the restoration of Jesus Christ in a life, which is priceless, which is an eternal score, which is the best form of victory. For it's life trumping darkness. Light trumping darkness. Life over death. Lord, give us a hunger for that in our midst. A hunger for seeing you destroy the works of the devil day after day after day after day after day. Give us a faith, Father God, to know that Christ is the author and the finisher and not to lose hope. Lord, when we run into walls, when we run into moments where we in ourselves feel afflicted because the work has not been done in us, give us humble hearts to lay down and say, Christ, fulfill your work. Finish the job that you started so that you can finish the work that you want to do through me. Lord, wherever in this place there's been onslaughts on specific ministries and callings, we just ask for your light now over it. Lord, just expose the work of the enemy in Jesus' name. Wherever he's trying to steal or intercept callings on lives, ministry callings on lives. Just loving on people, callings on life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you'll just come and show that to us. And in Jesus' name, over those that you are highlighting, we just declare, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And we thank you, Lord, that what you've called us and these people to do, Lord, you will complete. We thank you for that. If you just very simply want to say, Christ, please fulfill and finish your work of love in my life, just raise your hand. Christ, thank you for these hands. Thank you, love, that you will perfect your work in me. Very simply. Love, please come and perfect your work in me. Every season. I know it's gonna last till we go home one day. But I'm just giving my will again. I'm just giving my life again. So Christ, thank you that you fulfill and finish the work of love in my life. And then if you wanted to just declare, Lord, come and do it through me. Just raise your hand. Very simply, thank you, Christ. Thank you, Christ. Thank you, Christ. If you can again just flight Isaiah 61. I know we did it last week, but I believe it's a faith declaration. If you can just flight Isaiah 61 on the board for us, thank you. It's one down. There you go. Thank you. You can open up your eyes, and if you've got peace, I want us to read this as a declaration again. And trust that the Lord will do this. He will finish what He started. I declare over each and every one of you, each and every couple, for the Lord God will finish what He started. And He's a good God. And we're going to let Him finish what He started. Let's declare this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Father God, we thank you for the oaks of righteousness in this place. We thank you, Father God, that you will call us to be, and you will see this fulfilled in us, to be oaks of righteousness for your splendor, for all to be seen, for the nations to be seen, but for many to come to Christ, to know Him personally, to love Him personally in a not such a religious way, but a personal way. And that we may have the part. Lord, we've let you in and we want to let you in to do and fulfill your work, to let you out into this world. To see many, many sons of God rise as the world is waiting. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.